Tonight we want to turn again to the 24th Psalm, Psalm number 24. When I've been with you the last few times, we've been dealing with that series of Psalms known as the Messianic Psalms. And that group of Psalms known as the Messianic Psalms are those that speak directly of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. We began with Psalm number 2, and we skipped Psalm number 8, we skipped Psalm number 16. But the last time we were together, we looked at Psalm 22. Tonight, we look at Psalm 24. And this is a great psalm. It's a psalm of the glory and the sovereignty of the King, our blessed Lord. So let us read this psalm together. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of armies. The Lord Sabaoth. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we await that day when we're going to hear that shout, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And we shall enter into the glory with our glorious Savior, the one who entered in before us, having been strong and mighty in battle, having conquered for us there on the cross on Calvary's hill. And we look forward to that time when we shall be with him and enter into the glory with him. And we thank you that we have the promise that we shall be forever with the Lord. Now as we look into thy word together, we pray that tonight our souls will be blessed because we know the King, because we have seen the King, and therefore we rejoice together as thy people in the name of the King, the one who has been exalted to thy right hand, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The attitude of our day is very narcissistic. In other words, it's very self-centered. Narcissism is the love of oneself. It forms a basis of a hedonistic society. No nation and no individual can survive with this rationale. Ultimately, judgment will come from a sovereign God upon a self-centered people. You see, Babylon of old was self-centered. And when you read Isaiah chapter 47, verses 10 and 11, you see what God has to say concerning Babylon. For God says in those verses, thou hast said, none seeth me. And people today think they're getting away with something, that the God of heaven isn't going to have anything to say. The God with whom we have to do, the Creator, of the ends of the earth has everything to say. And Babylon of old said, thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. You and I are living in a day when the wisdom of man, the knowledge of man, has perverted his thinking. It has perverted his judgment. And God says of Babylon, thou hast said in thine heart, I am. And none else beside. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. There's only one who is the I am. It is the Lord of glory. Revealed to us in his word, in the trinity of his being. Our world today is going the way of Babylon of old. Our society is incessant upon self-gratification. From the opulence of the entertainment industry. And what an industry it is. From the theater. From movies. From sports. I attended the funeral of two men this summer on different occasions. Both of them were sports figures. I said to my friend David Morris when we left the second funeral, I said, sport is an idol in America. There was more said about what this man accomplished on the playing field than what our God did on the cross on Calvary's Hill. It's a shame to come to the end of life and to talk about what man did at the end of life than to be talking about what the Savior of sinners did when he was here. You see, the permissive mores of our sexually oriented society and our sexual indulgent society, we have become like Babylon of old. Man has an endless pursuit of eat, drink, and be merry. Man today is like the rich fool of Luke 12, the rich farmer, of whom our Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? I remember going into a home in Somerset, Pennsylvania. And that morning I had preached in a small coal mining town in a Grace Brethren church. And as I went into that home, the man was drinking a bottle of beer. And he said, you see, I'm following the scriptures, he said. The scripture says, eat, drink, and be merry. I said, well, oh boy, I said, that's good to be scriptural. Would you quote the next verse? He couldn't do it. I said, I'll quote it for you. You fool. Tonight your soul shall be required of you. I said, suppose it was. What you're doing, would it be important? You see, the rich farmer of Luke chapter 12, he had everything. But he put the stamp on the wrong envelope. He treated his soul as though it was his body. He said, soul, thou hast much treasure laid up for thee. Eat, drink, and be merry. The fool! He had nothing laid up for his soul. Everything he had was for his body. He had a stamp on the wrong envelope. And that's the society in which we live. And in the society in which we live, we should hear the words of the first two verses of this messianic psalm. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Verse 1 is a clarion call to the civilization that is preoccupied with self. This psalm stands out, beloved, in majesty and splendor, sovereignty and grace of the divine rule and ownership of all things. Remember what our Lord says in Ezekiel 18, all souls are mine. He created all. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You see, an inventor has exclusive rights to his invention. I don't know if you've ever lived around an inventor, a man who's made inventions or who invented certain things and patented them. I knew a few in my lifetime, had a good time with them. But an inventor has exclusive rights to his invention. You see, when we read these two verses, it's the height of folly for men to think that he's an end in himself. He's not an end in himself. You see, everything that the man possesses has been given to him by divine power. We're like the man in 2 Kings chapter 6. You know who that man was. You remember the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, the prophet, he said, the dormitory in which we live is too narrow for us. Let's go down to the Jordan and fell some trees and build a new dormitory. They went down to the Jordan, and this poor follower, as he was cutting down a tree, his axe head flew off. And you remember what he said. He said, alas, O Lord, it was borrowed. May I remind you that we're just like that? Everything you have is borrowed. There's nothing that you can call your own. The air you breathe is borrowed. And you try to go a few minutes without air, I can tell you what you're going to do. You're going to die. It's borrowed. A sovereign creator graciously gives it. We have a divine owner. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, God says to man, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Psalm 50 verse 10, our God says, every beast of the forest is mine. You see, Leviticus chapter 25 verse 23, the Lord says, the land is mine. It shall not be sold forever. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, I already quoted it, all souls are mine. Divine ownership. It's by the grace of God, beloved, that we have anything. And everything we have, everything we possess, is because of him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 8, we learn that truth. We have nothing that we can call our own. We can say with Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am by the grace of God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You see, God fashioned our physical makeup. We have that truth in the great 139th Psalm, the 13th verse. through the 16th verse, he tells God, you knew in thy book all my members were written when as much as there was not one of them. God fashioned us just the way we are. The food that we eat is provided by him. Psalm 104, verse 14. It is vital that we recognize our Creator. But note Psalm 49, verse 11. I can't quote this verse, so I have to turn to Psalm 49, verse 11 and read it. I think we should all read this verse together. Their inward thought is, he's speaking a man, that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Oh, we're not going to continue forever. Isn't it amazing? They call their lands after their own names. Next verse says, nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not, he is like the beasts that perish. How wonderful it is in this day in which we live to be able to turn from this present evil age. I often quote Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Did you ever read that? Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from Burlington, North Carolina. It's right there. It says, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. And my present evil age is Burlington, North Carolina. And yours is Raleigh. And we're to be delivered from it. Why? Our citizenship is in heaven. We're a colony of heaven. Here on earth, to be delivered from this present evil age and to live as members of a celestial society, the society of glory. But in verses 3 through 6, we move from divine ownership to divine salvation. Verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. You see, the stamp of divine ownership, beloved, doesn't guarantee man eternal salvation. Though all men belong to God by creation, all shall not stand or dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as you have at the close of Psalm 23. But who shall? I'll tell you who shall. This generation. Notice verse 6, this is a generation of them that seek thee, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Why do I say that? You see, the last time we were together, we studied Psalm 22, the Psalm of Calvary. Isaiah chapter 53 asks the question, I think it's about verse 10 or verse 11. It might be before that. It says this, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. In other words, our Lord was cut down, as it were, in the prime of his youth. 33 years of age. That's the time that most men have a family. And their children bear their name. But when human beings looked at the Savior in a human way, he was a man. And who's going to carry his name? Who's going to declare his generation? You see, in the end of the 22nd Psalm, that question is answered. For in Psalm 22, verse 30, we read, "A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." And you know what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 23? "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." In other words, we are that generation that seek thy face. For Peter also said in the next chapter, in the 9th verse, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." But here in that 6th verse, it says, "This is the generation. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." What did our Lord say in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 8? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What do we read in verse 5 of our text? "He shall receive the one who has clean hands and a pure heart." What did David ask the Lord in Psalm 51? "Wash me thoroughly and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." When we're washed thoroughly, what do we have? God cleanses us on the inside. And he cleanses us on the outside. Therefore, when we're commanded to pray, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I will that men lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting." How can we do it? Look at verse 5. "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." We can say with Jeremiah of old, as we read in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, "The Lord our righteousness." In that great hymn that we sing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." You see, all other ground is sinking sand. Why? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. For I have been declared by God the very righteousness of God in Christ. You see, beloved, the closer we get to understanding the holiness of God, the more we're confronted with the filthiness of our own sin in the sight of God. And we're like the publican of Luke 18, who didn't even dare to lift up his eyes to heaven. He wasn't like the proud Pharisee who thought he had it made. He thought he had everything. But the publican, it wasn't a mere show that he smote his breast. I'll tell you, his heart was beating at the door of heaven. He said to God, "God be merciful to me." And you see, the mercy of the Lord is like a high mountain, I read in Psalm 36. The mountain of the Lord, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing, beloved, to know the greatness of our God. The Messiah is called the Lord our righteousness. We possess His righteousness. Why? The Lord had mercy upon us. He didn't give us what we deserve. And then He had grace upon us. He gave us what we don't deserve. Isn't it great? Who is like the Lord our God? We can say with the psalmist in the 113th Psalm, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of our God is to be praised. For who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and upon the earth. We not only have divine ownership, we have divine salvation. Oh, what a blessing it is to be a partaker in the salvation of the Lord. But now in verses 7 through 10, we have the divine King. I believe this question, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? And you see, I believe the first time it was said when he ascended back to the right hand of the Father, John 16, he says, I have come forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go back to the Father. When he went back to the Father, we hear the Michael the archangel, I'm not sure it was he, who said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory is coming. And the answer comes, who is the King of glory? Ah, the answer comes back, the Lord strong and mighty. He conquered Satan. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell on our behalf. He's a Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. Now the second time the question is asked, I believe it's at the rapture, when our Lord descends and he takes his people home. There's, you see, 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when we enter the glory, we're going to hear the cry, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. The Lord of armies. The Lord Sabaoth. A host that no man can number is going to enter the glory with him. Years ago, it was my privilege to hear Brother Robert Willie. He spoke that night on circles and triangles. He was an engineer by trade. He was the head of an aircraft corporation in Wilmington, Delaware. And he spoke that night on circles and triangles, and I'll never forget something he said. He was in the British Army. He was an Englishman. He was in the British Army during World War II. And after the war, he was stationed in Greece. During the war, the King of Greece got out of the country before he was captured. But the day came that the King returned. And he said, every taxi cab in the city, everybody's horn was tuned. Everybody was saying, Erk, Erk, Erkatan, Erk, Erk, Erkatan. The King is coming. The King's coming. And he said he'll never forget. And he likened it to this verse. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. It was only the King of Greece. But he said, I was there when he was brought back and given the throne. And beloved, you and I, who know the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, who are that generation that seek thy face, O Jacob. You know, it's interesting to go through the Psalms and to look at what God takes to himself as a name. He calls himself the God of Jacob. He even calls himself the mighty God of Jacob. What does that mean? Well, if I read the scriptures right, it means he's a God of electing love. Who would ever choose Jacob? I like Esau, but God chose Jacob. So I read in Romans chapter 9, so if he calls himself the mighty God of Jacob, he's a God of the changed name. He changed Jacob from Jacob to Israel. From being a cheat and a rogue and a deceiver to being a prince with God. My friend, what has God done for you? He has done the same thing. This is a generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob. You see, if we want to apply this psalm tonight, this psalm is a clarion call to men to own him as their sovereign now. Is he your king? Is he your sovereign tonight? Do you obey him? Do you rejoice to call him Lord? Ah, friends, those who own him now as king belong to that company who's going to own him as king and enter into the glory with him in that day, for he is the Lord of hosts. Who's going to be in that company? I'll tell you. Everyone who looks to him in repentance and faith. Have you looked to him in genuine repentance and in genuine belief that he is indeed the Son of God? Our Lord said to his own one day, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you remember Peter's answer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You remember what our Lord said to Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of John. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you. You are not saying that because somebody whispered it in your ear. But my Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed it to you. Has our God called you and revealed to you that his dear Son, who died on Calvary's hill, is none other than the Son of God, and he is returning to take his people home? I don't know when, but I do know this. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh, and it could be tonight. Let's pray. O God our Father, we thank you tonight for the riches of grace. We thank you that we can gather in the name of thy dear Son, expecting to hear the shout when he shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, then I shall in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, to stand before the throne. And therefore we can say for thy people, now unto him, who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.